welcome to the God is a Geek podcast. My name's Adam Cook, and I put my best radio voice on there to introduce the one and only Gary Bailey.
Hello. I've not got a radio voice, sorry.
Everyone's got a radio voice. It's usually the telephone voice.
Oh, but yeah.
I've always meant to ask you, right, is your actual birth name Gary, or is it like, because we all call you just Gaz usually anyway, and it's like, is it?
Yeah, it's Gary.
It's not like Gary, Gareth shortened to Gary or Gaz or anything?
No, just Gary, named after Gary Lineker.
Really?
Yeah.
Actually, seriously.
But, although the daft... I am. My mum was a big fan of him. But, back then anyway. But, like, it was weird because at that time, there was a goalkeeper for Man United called Gary Bailey.
Yes.
So it's kind of like, it's right there. Could have named me after him, but...
No. Lineker's a better choice, let's be honest.
Yeah, that's true. Nobody knows of Gary Bailey anymore.
No, I mean, I'd argue that most people didn't know then. Yeah, no, true. That's also true. Gary Lineker, for those who don't know, he was a Tottenham Hotspurs player. He was an England player. Scored lots of goals. Goal poacher extraordinaire. But we're not here to talk about football. There's other podcasts for that. We are here to talk about all the Switch games because I think I finally got there. Do you know how everyone was always going on about everything on Switch?
Yeah.
I think I might have finally got there.
I'm kind of with you.
Yeah, you're doing that too, aren't you, really?
Yeah, it's one of those weird things. It's like, technically, you know, if I get it on the PS4, Xbox One, I've got a much better version. But there's just something convenient about the Switch.
I've been playing a lot more handheld, a lot more non-docked stuff, if I'm honest with you.
Yeah, me too.
And the first game we're going to talk about, like, I have to be a bit careful because I can only talk about like the first three-ish levels, I think it is. Of Legend of Zelda Link's Awakening, but I'm a lot further than that in because this is the game I played on Game Boy.
I never played it at all. No, I never played it because I never had a Game Boy. My first Game Boy was the Advance, so it's kind of like I missed out on it.
See, this is the thing, right? I'm going to have to, before I sit down and write the review, this is a preview, obviously, but before I actually write the review, I need to check some things, because there's 2D stuff in this game, and I don't remember that ever being there. However, they re-released the game 5 years later as, like, Link's Awakening DX for Game Boy, whatever it was. And that stuff did have it. So what I'm trying to work out, actually, is all this time in my head, this game's a remake of Link's Awakening, but it's not the Link's Awakening that I played in black and white, which was like my favourite handheld game of all time. And it's interesting playing through this again because most of it I remember. Most of it, it's a very faithful remake. Obviously, there's stuff like with the sort of create your own dungeon stuff that, you know, I'll talk about another time. Not because I can't, just because I actually have been playing through the main story first.
I don't blame you. I think that's what everyone will do. It's like they'll check out the dungeon thing later, but first you just want to play it.
Well, it does sort of introduce it as you play. Actually, you do get introduced to it, but then it's your choice as to whether you sit there and do lots of it or not.
Right.
And the interesting thing about this game is, I think people like me who played the original, and I probably did play DX, actually, but I remember the original more fondly because it was the first one.
Yeah.
I think people like that are going to just have this lovely, warm feeling throughout, like, even in a preview sense. Like I say, they're going to just feel really good playing this. I would be actually quite interested to hear the thoughts of someone who's never played it, because although Zelda games are adventures, this has a little more in common with Breath of the Wild in that it's not open, okay, because obviously there's a story you're playing through, and it's not open like Breath of the Wild, but there are things that are less obvious, because although that's like, you know, do level one, that's the dungeon, dungeon two, dungeon three, carry on. Although there is that, there are these other things running throughout the game you can do and don't have to do, but they are quite obtuse at times. To the point where I think people are going to be glad there's guides available, because it's an old, you know, it's an old game, you know?
Yeah, that's interesting, because I mean, I just expected it to be like an old school Zelda, you know, like Link to the Past style, you know. So it's just not straightforward, but you know, if you had a puzzle, it was more or less this is the way you do it, and that's it. You know? So it's been nice to see extra bits, especially. I mean, I love Breath of the Wild, like pretty much. I mean,
don't get me wrong. It's not like Breath of the Wild at all, really. Just in as much as there are things you don't have to do, but you can do. And I can, kind of the thing that brought back Breath of the Wild that I adore so much is that you can actually, like, if you watch a speedrunner, you can complete the game in like 10 minutes. You can just go straight to Ganon's Castle and do it.
Yeah.
But this one is not. It's not like that, but it is the, in as much as there is like, there's a lot of, not backtracking, but exploration of the map, even though it's not a huge map. It's like most of those top down, you know, Zeldas. Yeah. It looks gorgeous. It sounds great. The frame rate stuff seems to have calmed down for me. It's not been patched since I previewed it, but it does. It's strange. Maybe it's because I'm further into the game now, but like early on, I was noticing it's not like a frame rate hit. Right. It's like a frame pacing thing.
Okay.
Because otherwise it's 60 frames and it's smooth. It's a really confusing one, actually. I'm not sure what's going on technically, if you know what I mean.
Yeah. I've from the stuff I've seen, including the video that you did, I didn't really see any. I've not noticed anything. Like, so it's whether it's a case of it's not being shown for obvious reasons.
Well, that's the weird thing. I didn't deliberately miss out the stuff like that. In the video preview, it's just the way I cut it together. It just didn't have any, which suggests that because I just literally captured like an hour of the start of the game and spliced it up for that video, and it does happen enough that you notice it, but it obviously doesn't happen enough that I even managed to accidentally catch it in a video edit. Yeah. So that's kind of suggests it's not as bad as I initially thought.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not as you know, I'm not like 100% bothered about frame rate. Like, I'm happy at 30 or 60 kind of thing. Obviously, below 30, you start to notice it a bit more and it becomes an issue. But, yeah, I mean, if it's just the odd drop here and there, I'm fine with it. It doesn't bother me that much. Obviously, I prefer it without. But
I think you'll notice it. I just don't know if it will bother people. It's a difficult... Do you know what? I think the thing is, it's just surprising because it's a Nintendo first party.
Yeah, I mean, I think Breath of the Wild has
yeah,
issues.
That's fair.
But I mean,
it does.
I mean, considering the size of that world, I think
they patched a lot of that out. But like, when it was pre-release, I remember thinking that But again, like, it would be so nitpicky. Yeah, it exists, and you should mention it. But like, the game itself is such an achievement.
Yeah.
Yeah,
I mean, I'm really looking forward to Link's Awakening more than I realised, because it was one of those ones which was like, I want it, but you know, whatever kind of thing, but. I think as the closer it gets, the more I'm thinking, I want to play it, partly through the hype, obviously, that's starting to build, and partly because I'm like, you know what, I'm just ready for a sort of a classic-style Zelda.
Yep.
As you know, I'll happily sit and play Breath of the Wild, I still do. But, yeah, just now and again, you want that classic Nintendo top-down Zelda.
And I'm glad they're doing that. Yes, yeah, I mean... It's weird. I feel like I'm gravitating more towards Switch at the moment because they seem to be most of their games. While they might have multiplayer components, most of Nintendo's games are kind of single player adventures. Not all of them, you know, the Splatoons, the ARMS, but these kinds of games. Even like when you think of a Mario Maker, you are kind of just there is multiplayer modes again, but even you're downloading new levels to play alone. You know, I like that I can sit there with my Switch for an hour and just play this thing and be, and like how Xbox has achievements and PlayStation and all this integration, I'm not excusing it because they probably should have all that, but I kind of don't mind that I have one console that I'm not bothered on. Like I was playing today and I had to keep putting my Switch down to reply to texts and I was like, and I'm not being bothered on the console at all. I could just ignore them, you know?
Yeah. Well, I mean, I'm not really like an achievement or trophy person. If I get them, cool, but I'm like, you know, I've never really been one to go, oh, I want 100% this. Mm. Though, I mean, there's a game we're going to talk about shortly that I have noticed it because I did get achievements on the Xbox version. And then it's like, where's my achievement? Oh, right, I'm on the Switch.
Yeah.
So it's like, in a way, I suppose, like, it's quite nice to not have that. It's almost like you're not reaching for something, you know, like, oh, I have to collect all these so I can get an achievement. It's just, you don't get it. You just do it for the fun. And that's, maybe that's part of why the Switch is so appealing, because it is more about the fun side of gaming rather than the, you know, the collectathons and stuff like that.
I mean, While we're talking about Switch games, I'm not going to talk a long time about Daemon X Machina because I haven't finished it. Like, Mick reviewed it, but I was playing it as well. And I will just say, following on from, I think, last week, that game is surprising in a lot of ways. It's like Mick says, it out-anthems Anthem. And I think that's a good way of putting it because it is that kind of game. You know, you've got a hub where you play as your avatar and you can upgrade and there's skill trees and there's this weird ice cream thing where you can mix two flavors of ice cream to get a buff for the next mission, and then you get in your mech and you fly around and
that's brilliant.
It's so anime, mate. Like you are having a peach and green tea flavored ice cream, two scoops, one of each, and it's giving you like plus 2% cooldown on your jets or something. It is so, so anime. Like, there are so many characters, like, talking at you, and some of them are stereotypes and some of them are just bad. But, like, it's in the way that sometimes in anime you're like, oh, I mean, I'm not in the mood for this. Then sometimes you are. But it plays really well. Like, it's quick. It's, you know, look at the video review and you'll see it's fast moving, even though you're in big mechs. There's just a lot to it. I'm pleasantly surprised. Like, it's not a game I'm going to delete off my Switch. Do you know what I mean? I'm not going to make room by removing that one. I'm going to keep having to sort of tapping away at that over time because it's not going to be my favourite game of the year. It's not going to be my top 10. But, like, Mick giving it a 7.5 is kind of... I think it was 7.5. I think it was.
Yeah,
but him giving it that is kind of... Yeah, I can get behind that. Like, it's a good game, and it's nearly a very good game. You know, it's...
Yes.
It sometimes looks a bit ugly, but... I'm not going to say that's a Switch thing, but it's not. Although it's exclusive, it's not Nintendo developed. It's Marvelous developed it, so it's not Mario, it's not Zelda. But I've heard people say, "Oh, I'm not playing that. The demo's terrible." So what I've heard actually is that first demo, which I've played neither of them, the first demo is bad. Okay.
Okay.
But the second demo is apparently like a prologue. And it might be actually part of taking from the game, and that is apparently quite good. So if people tried the first and didn't like it, I'd recommend giving that demo, the second demo, a go. I didn't play it because at the time I was already playing the final retail copy.
Yes.
But I will say it's surprising in a lot of ways, and it's a
good
game. I need
to do that, actually. I need to play the demo because it was a game that, I'll be honest, like, wasn't really speaking to me when they showed it.
I was not interested at all. Not interested at all.
But it's like, you know, the more people are talking about it, the more it sounds like it might be quite fun. And it's like, I should at least give it a try, even if it's just the demo. And then
I'd like to try the multiplayer.
There's
the multiplayer stuff, like co-op, where you can do missions together. I'd like to try that stuff because that, again, quite surprising. You know, I wouldn't expect that, but now I've played enough to understand how it works, I just need to do it. You know, I won't go about Daemon X Machina for ages, but quite surprising, and I would recommend giving that second demo a go. I don't know how it's labelled on the eShop, but I'm sure it's obvious that this is the new demo or something.
Yeah.
Maybe they removed the old one.
They might have done. It probably made sense to delete the old one.
But from what I hear, they've actually tightened up a lot of the stuff people complained about in that first demo. Like, they really listened, so...
Because I think the second demo, I'm sure it says, like, your progress will carry to the main game, so I'm assuming maybe it's just, like, the opening mission or something like
Could
that.
Be. Yeah.
But yeah, I mean, I'm interested a lot more than I was before, but I still think it's kind of one of those I'll get at some point.
Yeah, it's not going to get discounted because it's Nintendo first party, but it's worth looking at. You know,
although they've not been too bad on the eShop, they have been dropping stuff, like, you know,
that's
Zelda's
true.
Had price drops, Mario, all that. They have had price drops, so they're getting better.
So a game I've been playing as well for about a week and a half is. And I'm only going to call it the full title once because I really hate the title.
Yep.
eFootball PES 2020. Terrible title. Stupid. I get it. I get what they're going for. I think it misses.
You know what bothers me about it is it's basically got football in the title twice, essentially. Because it's eFootball,
soccer.
Pro Evolution Soccer. And it's that makes no sense.
A lot of that game makes no sense. Like, I'm not going to sit here and trash PES. People who listen to this podcast know... I love football, and I love both football games, and I've given... I think I gave a PES a 10 out of 10.
I'm fairly
not that
certain
long ago.
You did. It was like the 2017
I think it was
18.
Or 17 or 18. It wasn't last year, because last year was good.
I think it was 18, yeah.
This year, they've tidied up a lot of what I didn't like about last year. So they've made the menus... I mean, the kerning on the menus last year was like out of whack. It was like someone
stuck every letter. Yeah, I remember you talking about
that. It's crazy. This year they've got that all right. The menus are far more modern. They're still not there, but they are nearly there.
Yeah.
And they've gone and got more licenses. They've got, you know, Manchester United, they've got Juventus, I think Bayern Munich. They've gone and got licenses.
Yeah.
They've lost a few too. They've lost, you know, Champions League last year. They've lost, you know, Liverpool this year. They have lost some, but they've gone out and they've tried to get individual licenses, you know, like
yeah.
Celtic are in here and stuff like that. I'm not going to go on about licenses because I've got strong feelings about that. And also, I think that the way PES is, it's not a good thing, but there's ways around it. You know what I mean?
Yes,
I will say one thing I did like is that in the Premier League, it used to be like North London, South London, you know, East Midlands. They've actually come up with a smarter way of doing it. So now it's just like Chelsea B, which is for blue, you know.
Okay, yes.
Manchester Blue, you know. Liverpool R. So instead of it being like Merseyside for Liverpool now, it would be like Liverpool R, Liverpool Reds.
Yeah.
Because you can't copyright a town name. You know, Liverpool is a place,
yeah,
isn't it?
Yeah, that's a good way to get around it.
It's to the point where I probably don't need to edit them all this year. You know, like Bournemouth is just called Bournemouth RB, which is red and black.
Yeah.
That's the shirt colour. It's a way they've got around it, and I'm really behind that. I like that a lot.
As long as they're not calling it like Bournemouth FC or something.
Yeah, well, it was something like South Coast Blue, South Coast Reds or something like, because now that's Southampton. I can't remember, but that's what they were doing.
Yeah.
So, gameplay. I will say all the modes, they're back. The modes are back. Like, they've tweaked some. The biggest tweak is the Master League, which is your career mode, where they've added the conversation stuff, like in FIFA. Like, they've got real-looking people having... But it's bad in FIFA, and it's worse in PES. Like, I don't like it in FIFA. You've got this... Nobody's talking, and you've got this lift music playing, and then they're gesticulating on screen, and then this comes up with an option for you to... I don't like that in FIFA, but it looks much worse in PES for some reason, because... The music's even less licensed, and like there's a moment where when you sign your contract as a manager, like there's a guy who's they've tried to make it authentic. There's a guy with what's obviously an iPad, but he keeps touching the screen and like nothing's moving on it because that's a lot of work to animate that sort of stuff. So it's like, why don't do it then?
Yeah, if you're gonna do that, do it where you're seeing it from the other side.
Yeah, so you can't see that he's got Google up and nothing's happening. That stuff I still don't like. I don't like it in FIFA. There's nothing new there. You know, I don't know whether it affects stuff because I haven't played enough of Master League to know. But I'm told it does. You know, the things you answer change how your team react on the pitch. There's problems with this game, like big problems. The AI is all over the place. I have seen so many examples of the AI just not working how it should. For example, whether you're a football fan or not, like the back four, for example, your left back, your right back, and your two central defenders. I've seen a central defender. So a ball comes in over the top, and the striker goes to head it. And this is football immemorial. This has always been the way. The centre forward's going to try and outmuscle the centre back. They both go up for the header, and usually the defender comes off better. I had this happen where my defender didn't jump at all, but the other defender ran across, jumped diagonally, so you know, rather than being it like man on man marking, the man on man marker just stayed there, man on man. While the other defender ran out of position, tried to jump, missed the header, left both my defenders stood next to each other. The centre forward won it, came through and scored. Like, that is terrible AI.
That's not good.
I've seen like my centre forward on the attacking side, rather than run between the defenders, running into space where the through ball's going to go, run directly at a defender and lose the ball. I've seen cases where you play a ball down the side and the defender's in front and he just runs past the ball and then like the AI catches up, he turns around and runs back, but it's too late. And these aren't isolated. This stuff is happening a lot. Not all the time. And when it works, it's good. But they've also, I think they've gone back to their old problems where they're over-animating things. So the thing about a football game is you want it to look realistic, and PES looks really realistic. But the thing is, you also want it to be fun for the user. And I actually filmed the replay of it because I couldn't believe what had happened. I got fouled and I wanted to take a quick free kick, and I took the quick free kick and I passed it to someone, and they took so long to take control of the ball, turn and face the attacking direction that by the time they'd finished all their animations, the defenders were back in position and the fast break was gone. Now, part of this is a good thing because part of it means you can't ping the ball around like unrealistically.
Yes.
But also, some football teams do that nowadays. Like, they do. It's one-touch passing.
Yeah,
it's little triangles.
I mean, I don't watch much football these days, but I have seen some teams doing it really well. Like,
I mean, the likes of Barcelona or Man City or Liverpool, that's what they do. And the fact that with a quick player, it's difficult to do that because it's over animated. I don't think that's an easy problem to fix. I think they can fix the AI. I mean, also the fouls, like some of the foul seems really inconsistent. Like, you know, I didn't even think I fouled someone, but no, not even gave away a foul, but got a yellow card for it. And you're like, okay, I thought I was just jostling, but it looks like they've just stuck a foot, you know. And it's like these weird clashes of animation. I've seen things where like the ball's flicked up from the toe, hits the chest, then bounces off at like it's 50p piece bouncing around. And I think that's fixable. The animation thing's an interesting one. I think Pez is in a really strange spot right now because they've changed the name. People are just going to call it Pez 20.
Oh, yeah.
Another little thing. Like it's always been a thing. Like after an event, you get a replay of things. And it's always like a slight delay. Like if you press the start button to skip it, there's always like just a second delay that makes it feel less smooth. Just let me disable replays. I don't want to see eFootball coming up, you know, like spinning up every time. I don't want to see it. I want to just play football. If I want a replay, I'll press start. And you know, just do replays for goals, you know?
Yeah, you don't need to. It's not like you're watching football normally. Yeah, you do get replays for various things, but you don't get it for everything. And
no,
the majority of them are for like a foul or a goal, basically, rather than anything else.
I don't know, man. Like, I don't hate it. I also wouldn't give it as high a score as Chris gave it, 7.5. I'd go probably near a 6 because I think AI in a football game is a really important thing.
Yeah.
It's just I don't know what's going on. I just don't know what's going on in that game. Why the AI is like that? Because it wasn't last year. So unless they've done something, you know, I just don't understand.
Is it a new engine or something?
I mean, they've added a thing called miss kick, which is basically the idea that if the ball comes to a player at a funny angle and you try and pass it to an even funnier angle, you'll miss kick it. That's great. I'm fine with that. That happens. You see that in our video review of it. I don't know. I don't want to not play Pez this year, but
The problem they've got is they've got problems like this, and they're already at a disadvantage. Really, let's face it, from FIFA. FIFA is just a bigger game. There's not really much you can do about that now.
I would also say that we are in. This is probably the last PS4 Xbox only gen football game. I think. If we haven't got the consoles out next Christmas, the next. Well, maybe. I don't know. I'm not sure. The last sort of couple of games for a generation are always a bit sort of, I don't know, but it feels like Pez can't do that. Like FIFA could have a bad year and pick it up next year.
Yeah, Pez is already behind. It needs to do something special to make sure that it's not all the way behind. But
I mean, I said this last year, but I think Pez isn't far off being like a free-to-play game.
Yeah,
and I reckon there's maybe one more year of a proper full release at this point, and they've got to nail it.
It's a shame. It's such a good game.
It is. It's a great series. It's a historical series. But I just found myself playing it, thinking, I'm not actually having much fun here.
Right.
And that's not good.
That's not good at all.
Because, I will say. If EA doesn't nick, like they've traded in the past, like where one's taken from another, and they don't acknowledge it because of course they don't. But you see a good idea, and they use it. I mean, look, you know, Pez does My Club now, which is their version of Ultimate Team.
Yes.
But if EA does not take Pez's random selection mode in a couple of years, like, I'm just baffled because that mode is the best multiplayer mode, the best way to play multiplayer. It's like Dream Team shit. But you get to have like a little trade, you know, like where you can steal your players from your mates, and it's just that. Yeah. Anyway, Gaz, let's go back to Switch games because you have been playing Grid Autosport, which is the first Grid now on Switch, which I think is out now. I think.
Maybe by the time this goes live.
Okay, I'm really not sure. I thought it was out. I'm going to Google it while you're talking.
I think it's the 19th. I think.
Okay.
But yeah, I mean it's. It's a weird one because it's a port of the mobile version, which was a port of the original version. Yeah. But it's really good. It's one where it's like the Darksiders when they did that port for the Switch where it's got a performance mode and a graphics mode. Although it has gone one step further, there's a third mode which is like a battery saver mode as well. So you've got full graphics mode, which is like 30 frames or thereabout. It does dip a bit, but it's like really nice graphics. It's got a lot more of the lighting effects and stuff like that, the shadows. You can go to then your performance mode, which is round about the 60 frames, but it's not really much of the graphical stuff. It still looks good. Like I'd say it probably looks more or less like the 360 version did.
Just that like tends say to with, be the way, isn't it? Though that yeah, tends to be
yeah, and then but you get the 60 frames. I do
because grid. It's just called Grid, isn't it?
Yeah, that's out.
What, next month?
Yeah, I mean, it was originally supposed to be out like more or less now, and then they knocked it back a month, which I don't blame them because they were like, basically, we didn't want to go up against Gears and Borderlands, and who does really? If you let's face it, that would be silly.
Yeah.
But yeah, it is a bit of an odd timing, and it was sort of, it was announced like a week ago. Now, at the Nintendo Direct, just suddenly it was just, here's what else is coming out on the Switch, and that was one of them. Suddenly, here's your release date. Oh, cool. Would have been nice to know that a bit earlier. Yeah. I'm really enjoying it. I think it would benefit from having proper triggers, like the analog triggers, because
of course,
it is like I had to turn ABS on, which I don't normally do, because with it being digital triggers, you can choose as one of the control methods using the right stick as you accelerate and brake, but I'll be honest, that's never worked for me. You could do it on like the PS1 with some games and it just never felt right. But yeah, without the ABS on, it was like you just touch the brake and you're locking your wheels every time, and it just didn't quite work. But the rest is fine. You just kind of have to, tap the throttle a little bit to sort of, so you're not over accelerating out of a corner and spinning all the time. But other than that, it plays really well. It plays like I remember it on the 360. And the benefit of this one, obviously, you've got handheld, which is a bonus for me, because like we said before, I'm playing handheld a lot more. And it looks great either way. We're not saying it's looking like an Xbox One game or anything like that, but it still looks very good. But you can play it with like the tilt controls, because it's like the port of the mobile version. It's like Feral Interactive has done it rather than it being a Codemasters developed game.
Yes, that's right.
And when you play it on the screen and you just use the Joy-Cons like in the grip, the tilt control works fine. To the point where, not every time, but I can get some decent lap times in. Because it's a little bit like when you with a, like an analog stick, especially the Switch ones, they tend to be a little bit oversensitive sometimes, so you can't quite get the right angle, so you're kind of tapping rather than holding to get round a corner. So you with the tilt, it's a bit like the speed wheel that they had on the Xbox 360, if you remember that. It was like the wireless wheel,
which
was surprisingly good. But it's like that, so you can get the sensitivity right. But when played handheld, it's awful. To turn a little bit, you've got the Switch pretty much 90-degree angle, and it just doesn't feel right at all. I couldn't get on with it. But, I mean, I have tried it both ways. I've enjoyed it, at least on the big screen with the tilt. But I tend to go back to the analog sticks anyway, which, I'll be honest, I think most people will do. But yeah, I mean, I'm not going to go on it too much more. It's the full experience, including all the DLC, which was released on the consoles and
what
PC.
What was the DLC?
It was mainly like extra cars. Like there's loads of extra cars, tons of them actually. You can go in the main menu. You can go to like extra championships, and there's tons of them, including like the drift stuff. Sorry, not drift. What's it called? Drag, like the drag racing stuff, which, if I remember right, wasn't in the main game. It was added as DLC, so there's quite a lot of that as well. But yeah, it's very, very good. And it's nice to have a proper racer. That sounds twatty. But real world racer on the Switch. It's probably the best you're going to get on the Switch of that type.
It's surprising there's not like an F1 port. I mean, I know it wouldn't look as good, but
It's I think seems like a maybe home run. Maybe down the line, because there is a mobile F1 game. Yeah. So whether they port that across, because I suppose it'd be too much work to port the new F1 backwards, because I think it's an engine designed for the new consoles, or like the higher power ones. So I'm not sure they could. I mean, there's probably ways. I'm not a developer, so I don't know. There might be ways of doing it, but I would like to see an F1. I mean, maybe Codemasters are going with Grid and going, is this popular, yes or no? If it is.
Because they've already got the port sort of thing.
Yeah, that's it, because they've already done that, whereas like the F1 mobile stuff is more recent, I think. So, there's kind of, we've already got the groundwork with Grid.
Yeah,
and I've really enjoyed what I've played so far. I think people like it. The price, I'm not sure, £30 on the eShop.
That's half price of a game, isn't it?
Yeah, it's not too bad, but when you consider it's a tenner on the mobile version, it's kind of like, it's quite a big jump, but it's still a very good game, and there's nothing else really like it on the Switch, so it might be easier to sell. But yeah, good game.
Fair enough.
Good game.
Yeah, there'll be a scored review somewhere on God is a Geek for that one. There is already a scored review of Children of Morta. Tell me about this game, Gaz, because it looks lovely.
Yes, it does. This is a weird one, because it took me quite a while to get into it. Because it's like, it's a roguelike, essentially.
Right.
But you play as this family, the Bergsons, which are, they're basically the keepers of Mount Morta. And something happens, some kind of corruption starts making its way into the mountain, and it's killing animals and turning them into weird beasts and stuff like that. And the Bergsons are there to try and figure out how to stop it, and that essentially comes through just delving into dungeons and just bit Diablo like kind of combat, that style. You start off with, I forget the name, Linda is one of them. She's like the daughter, and she's like a ranged one. She's got a bow, and you just use the right stick, aim it, and just keep going, basically, until everything's dead. And then I forget the name of the dad, but you play as the dad as well. At the start, he's more of like the tank, so he's going in with sword and shield and just wailing and everything. And you unlock as you play more of the family. Like, the first one I unlocked was Kevin, who was like one of the younger boys, and he's sort of like, he, the way it works is once you'll do a run in the dungeon, you'll get as far as you can collecting morve, as it's called, weirdly. It's gold. It's just gold. I don't know why it's called morve. You're collecting that, getting as far as you can. If you beat the dungeon or if you die, you're basically then sent back to the house. And you can use your gold to then upgrade your, like, it, the upgrades, like, the family. So you can upgrade, like, the generic attacks, the attack power, I should say, like, your armor, that kind of thing. Whereas when you're in the dungeon, you level up, and you can earn specific, like, upgrades for that character that you're using. So you've kind of got, it's like a weird double level up system. But it works quite well, because it's designed that if you die, you level up, go back in a bit stronger, you know, and there's more likelihood that you'll beat the dungeon.
Gotcha.
But whenever you die or you finish a dungeon, you go back to the house, and there's like a little story beat. It's a bit like Bastion, like, your characters never speak, but the narrator does. You know, they've got like this really gravelly voiced narrator who's like, the Bergsons are here today doing this. That's no good at all, but we'll move on.
You could have said it was. I'd never know any different.
But yeah, he's like, the Bergsons have noticed that the corruption's making its way onto their land now. So, you know, they're doubling their efforts and that kind of thing. Or when Kevin was introduced, it's like Kevin was given these daggers to, you know, he's practicing his dagger work, but he's not allowed to go out yet because he's too young. And then later on, he does. You know, it's like, no, actually, we could do with his help because we're getting battered. But it's kind of a nice way of breaking up the monotony of just going in and mashing on everything and then dying and going back and doing it again. You know, you've always got something moving forward, even if it's just like a tiny thing. Like, oh, I think one of the first ones was like the mum who you never play as. Can't remember. I don't think you play as her because she was pregnant for like most of it. She's sort of outside feeding animals and stuff. And so you just get a little cutscene of her doing this. You know, it's almost showing, I think it's designed to show that the Bergsons are kind of at one with nature and, you know, they're keeping the balance of the mountain, or trying to. Because when you're actually playing, the first few hours are quite frustrating because the difficulty curve is quite high or quite steep.
Gotcha.
So, like, it took me a few attempts to sort of get even to the first boss. And then it took me several attempts to do the first boss to the point where it had unlocked Kevin and he helped me do the boss because he's the way his attacks are, he's got the daggers, but the more consecutive attacks he lands, the faster the attacks become. So if you get into a big group, he can fucking just carve straight through them. It's impressive, but it's also balanced because once I'd beat that boss that did the next section, there were more enemies that could almost undo that. Like, you couldn't just blitz your way through. Like, some of them had hit you through your attacks and you'd kind of have to be a bit more strategic. So, like, the next area I ended up as Linda again with the bow and arrow, so it could be a bit more ranged.
And this is just on PC at the moment, right?
Yeah. I don't know why, but I feel like there's been a console mention at some point.
Yeah, they've definitely said it's coming to those consoles.
I mean, again, we're going back to the Switch thing. I think this would work very well on Switch. Partly because of the visuals as well. You know, that it's got that 2D, everything's pixel art, but slightly higher res than you'd expect. You know, because most pixel art games tend to be like 16-bit-ish. You know, like, they go for that look.
Right.
Whereas this is like, there's a lot more pixels going on. So it kind of, it weirdly looks overdone, but you know, you're not thinking it's overdone, it looks good. That right. probably makes no sense to anyone, but in my head.
No.
So it looks very good, but it takes a while for your brain to sort of go, wait, there's a lot of pixels on the screen, you know, because you just expect
it
less.
It is coming to Switch, by the way, PS4 and Switch.
Cool. Yeah, I think this will do really well on Switch. I hope it does, because it does have some frustrations, like it does have some issues, but overall I did enjoy it. It's got that one more play, because there were times when I was like, I can't beat this dungeon, I'll come back tomorrow. You know, an hour later I've been through it like three or four more times trying to do it, because you're just like, no, I want to beat it, damn it. That's partly because I'm stubborn, but
does
also
look like my cup of tea, I'll be honest with you. It does. It looks really nice.
Yeah, I mean, some of it reminded me, I think I mentioned this in the review, it reminded me of Hammerwatch, which I also loved. So there's probably that in there that made me want to keep playing it. A very good game, but I think will do better once it hits console.
And you can read the full review already on godisageek.com. Let's get into some listener correspondence, Gaz. So just the Thomas Show this week. He sent us a raft of questions to answer.
We always love Thomas's questions.
Oh, they're always the best ones, mate. That's why we read them. When did it happen to you? It is the moment you haven't got a clue what's in the music charts.
It wasn't that long ago, actually.
Okay.
Because it's like, where I work, we've got like just music going, you know, and there's different playlists, so we can put whatever we want on, like 90s, 80s, whatever. But
right.
some of the people I work with are a bit younger, so you get more modern stuff on there. And I was kind of like, I have no idea who any of these are.
Right.
You know, it's just like, the only ones I recognise are some of like the bigger names. You're like your Rihanna, your Taylor Swift, your fuck, that's about all I can think of right now. But you know, I mean, like some of the more higher profile ones, but some of the other stuff I'm just like, I've no idea, not a clue.
I mean, again, similar, that the radio's often on, but I don't think anyone's got a clue what's in the charts, have they? It's not like it used to be where you'd sit on a Sunday and listen to the top 40 and
Yeah, I suppose.
Do they even do that?
I don't know. They must do somewhere. But yeah, I think. But most people
sales, like just number one could be number one on a Tuesday and a Thursday.
Yeah. That's, know, it's a lot of it is people listen to Spotify, Amazon Music, Apple, you know, all of that.
How do you track music sales? Because does anyone sell CD singles anymore?
That's it. I genuinely don't know.
Oh, could you go into a shop? Thing. It used to be a Woolworths or a WH Smith and buy a CD single that is out this week and will be counted in the UK sales charts at the end of the week. Do you know what I mean? I've not seen one.
I don't remember seeing any. I mean, the last time I saw them was probably when Woolworths were around.
I mean, people still release singles, but you just listen to them via Apple Music or Spotify and the B-sides are on there. But
Maybe they are all through there. I think I'm
kind of up to date. Like, you know, I know the 1975 are. Like, their new single's actually fantastic. It's like this punk rock anthems full of F-words that's never, ever getting near the radio. But previous to that, they were kind of guitar and electronica and, like, you know, they far more pop. I mean, I've heard them on the radio, but I don't know. I don't think it's happened yet. I saw someone on TV the other day that they were going on about this reform. They've been going 10 years. Didn't know who any of them were, but it turned out it was a dance troupe, not a band. So
right, okay.
I got out of that one. He also wants to know then, mince pies and quality street tins in September. Are you on board, yay or nay?
I don't see any harm in it, but... Mm. Yeah, I mean, I don't eat mince pies, so they don't really affect me. Quality Street, to be fair, I don't know when I last ate Quality Street. It's a while ago. But, I mean, yeah, why not?
You can buy the boxes year-round. Like, you know, the whole thing with roses was thank you very much for feeding William, wasn't it? Where you could you bought them because they looked after your dog while you were away. But the tins are just a natural extension of that. Mince pies, again, I'm not going to buy them in September, but I am not opposed to them. And if someone brought them in and said, here, do you want a mince pie? I probably would take one. But
yeah,
I find it every year you get that thing of, oh my God, they've got Easter eggs in the shop and we haven't even had Halloween yet or whatever it is. And it's like, I've now hit the age where I just can't get the outrage over this stuff. It just doesn't move my needle, man.
Yeah. I was in Morrison's the other week and they had Christmas puddings out already. You know, there's a very small, but there is a little Christmas section there. And it was like, you know, part of me was like, bloody hell, that's early. But then it's like, whatever. Yeah, I like my Christmas puddings, so if I can get them early, I'll fucking buy me them now.
But going back to what I said about like that 1975 song, like one of the lyrics is, wake up, wake up, wake up, wake up, wake up. It's Monday morning and we've only got 1,000 or so of them left. So it's like, like the world's ending. I'm not gonna get upset about it.
There are bigger things to worry about.
There are. What sentence in life makes your heart sink the most? For me, he says it's usually at work when someone says, it's a pretty full agenda for today's meeting, or if we could just go around the table and introduce ourselves. The awkward creeping death of meeting intros. What sentence in life makes your heart sink the most?
Ooh. That's a good one.
I've got one if you're struggling.
Go.
Look, I'm not being racist, but...
Oh, yeah, that's a very good one.
And you can change racist for...
I'm not X, but...
Listen, you know me, I don't mind the gays or something. You know what I mean? I've heard that sentence said, and it's just made me go, I'm not being homophobic, but... I'm not being racist, but... You know is going to be followed by, like, the absolute worst racist or homophobic or whatever. And that phrase, look, you know me, I'm not being... That just makes me go, you know.
Yeah, you can't help but sort of instantly just sigh or, you know, just, ugh, as soon as they start that sentence.
I mean, there's a few others, but they're too personal that I'd be sort of outing people I know that say these things, so I'm not going to use them here.
Yeah.
That is one of my proper ones, which just makes you go...
Yeah, I mean, a lot of my stuff like that tends to come from work, where it's like, you go into work and it's like, oh, head office have done this, for, and you're just like, oh, for God's sake. You know, just, you know that it means more work that you shouldn't really need to do, because it's just... Mm-hmm. It won't make a difference to anything, or it'll actually make your life worse. And it's just like that sort of thing is. Yeah, I suppose that's the main one, because the rest of the stuff is usually like when I'm at home or whatever. It's pretty much I can deal with it, you know. It's, you know, when you're at home, it's just, it doesn't really bother you as much because you know it's just a small thing, and you, then you're on to doing whatever you would do with your day anyway. But when you're at work, you know it's going to affect your day to day. You know, however many hours a day for it, and you're just like, yeah, that's the sort of thing that will bother you a bit more.
Next question then. Do we know too much about games before release these days? I miss the good old days. Sorry, he just says, I miss the old days, cue Hovis music, where games weren't overexposed, leaving most of the surprises to unpack on release day. I know it's all marketing, but less is more.
This is a difficult one, because I think in, on a personal note, I think, yeah, I'm with him on it. You know, like,
yeah, but
sometimes
also...
we do. But on the other side, I think... especially for like for sites like us, it's good to have some of this up front, and you can make more informed decisions from it.
And but I mean, there's two schools of thought to that, because like with Borderlands 3, like we got review code on the day the game came out, and I knew that was going to happen. I had the inkling that was going to happen, but the American press got it early, reviewed it. They were given Epic Store press accounts. Sorry, not press accounts. They were given Epic Store accounts from 2K to play the game on, and told you might not even have the game after you finish the review period. Now that I've had that,
yeah,
but only once, and it was for a 2K game. Everyone else just gives you a disc or a code and you go and play it.
Yeah.
So something about this was setting off alarm bells. I haven't played Borderlands 3. I'm a big Borderlands fan, but the thing is, I know loads about that because they've marketed the shit out of it. But at the same time, I haven't actually been shown yet why I should care about a new game. I've just been told Borderlands is back. Look at the Borderlands. On the same sort of angle, I would also say the thing about that is there are so many more games released these days.
Yeah.
And that means there are so many more games that are similar to other games. So there's less room for the unique. And the unique is still that game, I think, that you play and go, oh, wow, this is cool.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? Like, I don't think like Daemon like X Machina got like, yeah, Journey. Like, but I don't think like Daemon X Machina got over marketed and it ended up as a pleasant surprise to me, you know?
Yeah. I suppose, it depends on the games, and I suppose it depends on what they're showing.
Mm.
Like, if they're just showing, like, a few cutscenes here and there, or they make something specific, you know, that kind of thing, then it's not as big. It's when they, like, here's, like, a full mission. You know, it's like, I don't want to see that, because I'm going to be playing it. You know, the same thing as when they release, like, a demo, and it's, like, the first mission. You don't want to then... I'm gonna have to play
Destiny's
again.
Beta, basically.
Oh god, yeah, I remember that
three
like,
times.
Yeah. So yeah, it's. I suppose it just depends on what they're showing or how they show it.
Yeah, I mean, I there is definitely. I mean, there's the Kojima thing, isn't there? You know.
I wondered if we were going to go there.
Well, I think he's gone the other way. That he's made his game look so weird, and what is it? As I said, people keep saying, I don't know what this game is, I don't know what this game is. I think it's quite clear what kind of game it is. It's a survival game of some sorts with heavy story cutscenes. You know, there's 7-minute cutscenes. You already put one out at TGS.
Yeah.
I think this game's going to be more like Metal Gear Survive than people realise. But also, he's at the point now where he didn't really want to, apparently, but he's come out and just played 40 minutes straight of the game.
Yes.
Which to me suggests you've gone so far with the weird that people are saying, we don't know what it is, that you've had to come out and say... okay, look, this is what it is. So I think there are still those games. Like, there's a game I'm not even going to mention the name of, I think Chris will talk about next week on the podcast, that I think people won't have heard of, and I don't know because he hasn't got back to me yet, but it looks, what I've seen of it, incredible. But we won't know because no one's talking about it, you know?
Right, yes.
It does happen, but there are so many games, and the media is dominated by the ones that get hits, and those are Borderlands, Destiny, you know, Call of Duty, FIFA.
Yeah, the big stuff is the one that tends to be seen by everyone, whereas some of the smaller ones, or sometimes not even small ones, you know, sometimes it's just it's not made by this developer
or this
publisher.
Look at Ancestors. Like, that's Patrick Desolé's new game, came out a couple of weeks ago. I've heard nobody talking about it. And yet it's apparently really different and weird and like this, it's a sort of survival game but with a story, but you're also monkeys and it's like it's evolution and it sounds interesting, but no one's talking about it.
Yeah.
So they do happen. Thomas, finally, final question is, what game did you really want to like but ultimately couldn't get on with? He says he desperately wanted to love Daemon X Machina, but the demo just didn't gel with him, which is a shame. I'd say try that second demo, but yeah. Gaz, what game did you want to get on with?
I mean, I can't think of any off the top. The only thing I can think of, but it's kind of still an in progress, is Control. Like, okay. I really want to like that game. I'm enjoying the story side of it. I mean, I am quite early on, so I'm still not gonna. I'm not ready to put it down yet. But the combat isn't gelling with me. Like,
right.
But everyone's like, wait, you know, it gets better with the more powers you unlock and stuff. So I'm like,
well, it does. But I found the gunplay satisfying from the start, so I can't really back those people up.
Yeah,
I found
that's
the gunplay
the thing,
really satisfying.
I do feel like I'm in the minority. Well, that's no one's surprised by
but
that,
with,
are they?
But what I'm saying is, with the gunplay, like, yeah, you're gonna be able to upgrade and unlock more weapons on the same gun, but the responsiveness is not going to change. The gun is the gun, you know.
Yeah.
And I loved that from the start. That felt really, like, it had a, like, impact to me as I was playing it.
Yeah.
I don't know that you're going to suddenly go, oh, no, I love this. Do you know what I mean?
Yes. That's it. I'm going to give it maybe like another hour or so. Just keep playing a bit, see if it gels. Mm. Maybe it just needs to click. Maybe I need to find that right power that will just make me go, oh, right, yeah, cool, I'm
maybe
in.
Maybe.
But, I mean, I want a lot of it as well now is, especially now they've announced the DLC stuff, aren't they? And there's obviously there's that Alan Wake thing.
Yeah.
Where, I mean, I don't know. I mean, it
has
looks
to
like
be,
it
mate,
will
because
be.
Because if it isn't, they're just making
yeah,
people rage.
I mean, I don't know what it'll be.
I
well, whether
do,
it's
but
like,
I finished Control, so
right,
I think I know what it's going to be.
But I think that's it, because like, I know there is something in Control to possibly, you know, maybe it's a tie-in, maybe it's, I don't know specific, I just know there's something. So I'm like, I think that's partly why I don't want to let it go, because I'm like, I really want to know what that is. No matter how small it is, I'm kind of like, I just want to know. But I think it's one of those things that if it doesn't gel, I'll come to you or something and be like, what was it? Just so I know.
Yeah,
you know what I mean? Fair. Just in case I've missed something big. I mean, I suspect it won't be big because it wouldn't be, you know, if someone's a big Alan Wake fan, you know, that it's like, no, you've got to play this game if you want to, you know, even though it's not really like Alan Wake in any way, at least gameplay wise, I suppose. But well, that's the only one I can think of at the minute. But like I say, it's still an in progress.
I think for me, I think Days Gone, I really wanted to like that because there's so much to like about it, but it just frustrated me beyond belief. And the other, you're not going to like this, but the other one's probably Darksiders 3. Like, I didn't, and it doesn't
say
like I didn't.
We had this conversation like closer to the time, didn't we? Because I remember you just not really getting on with it.
It just didn't. Like, I wouldn't go lower than a 6 or anything. Don't get me wrong. Like, I'm not like saying it's an average or bad game in any way, shape, or form. But I loved the first two.
Yeah.
And I think probably part of the problem was I wanted more of that. And this is adjacent, I suppose, to that rather than. And that's fine because they do sort of do that.
Yeah, they do change it up with each game. I think that's one of the things I do like about the Darksiders franchise.
Like they do progress. It's not just a sequel. You know?
Yeah, I mean, it's like the new one. You know, obviously, it's not the same developer.
No, that's,
well, although the technically this one wasn't the same developer either, but it was sort of some of them.
it's
got a bit muddled with the whole THQ thing. But yeah, I mean, like new one again, it's like a very different type. So it's like, you know, they are at least doing something. But
I just didn't like it as much as I wanted to. Like,
I really wanted
to like that game. I wanted to love that game, It just didn't do it.
Yeah, I mean, I could probably say the same again. This will probably annoy some people. I was the same with Horizon Zero Dawn.
Yeah, but I mean, that's
really
how I started with it, though. That's when I went back, I fell in love with it.
I played, I want to say, about 15, 18 hours, something
like
that.
I got
about
8 or 10 in the first time.
And yeah, I couldn't make myself continue. Like, I was interested in the story, I liked it, but the gameplay just wasn't hitting the right notes for me. I think it was not, you know, like, you get an idea of what a game's going to be in your head and it's not quite that, so it just doesn't. I suppose it's the same thing as you with Darksiders. I know it's like, actually, it just wasn't quite hitting those notes for me. So it was, you know, I wasn't reviewing it or anything. So if you're not enjoying it, don't play it.
Yeah,
you know what
stop,
I mean?
Yeah.
It's that kind of thing.
That's what I did with Dark Souls 3. I just was like, I'm not going to finish this.
Yeah.
You can send us questions, by the way, at God is a Geek on Twitter, or you can email us podcast@godisageek.com. Gaz, thanks for your time this week, mate. Much appreciated.
Thank you very much.
And everyone else, well, we'll speak to you next week or whenever you choose to listen. That was a. Do you know, I'm going to just redo that, Gaz, because I think that was a very cold ending. I'm going to just say, I love you all. You can go to our patreon.com/godisageek if you like this podcast a lot. And now I'm going to say, I'm not going to edit this, by the way, this is going as is. But it was just a sudden, abrupt ending to the podcast, and we don't want to do that. But now you know, you see, now because I've done it once, now they know the ending's coming, the music's playing, it's gradually increasing in volume. Gary and I are going to go now. Not right now, in a minute, but genuinely, we'll speak to you next week, or whenever you choose to listen. Bye-bye for now.